312-521-8600. Jill on the blower.
Hey, dear.
Hey.
Hey. Actually, I wanted to ask Bibble a question, if you don't mind. I went to the Holocaust Museum in D.C., and I think I went because I kind of felt like I should.
Like you should?
Yeah, like I should, don't learn from your history, you're doomed to repeat it, that kind of thing. Like, I should, have a better understanding of it. It was a terrible traumatic event, and I'm 42, so it's kind of, I'm not young, but I didn't experience any of that aftermath, but my grandfather did, of course. But I wanted to, connect with it and understand it and learn, and I don't know. I wondered if you went out of obligation or a sense that he should.
Were people taking photos in there, or can you not take photos?
No. I was blown away by that story because everybody was so solemn and respectful, and it was like a very sad memorial, and it was very, like, almost educational in that they were trying to explain what happened, and it was just, it's so sad. I didn't even think of taking a picture. I had my phone with me. Never even occurred to me.
Yeah, but the one that you're talking about, Gary, is in Berlin. That's
right.
An outdoor, kind of memorial.
True.
Where you stand.
Yeah,
I've been to the one in D.C. too. That is a very harrowing experience.
I just wondered if that was it. Like, did you go thinking it was like I should go? I should learn. This is something I.
That's why I went. Certainly, I mean, to your point, you want to find out and pay homage.
Oh. It's just so heartbreaking. I mean, I'd like to think these young kids, they're just kind of knuckleheads and they don't think it through and chalk it up to that, but ugh.
Yeah, that's the story I was talking about before the news break, that a number of people have been taking pictures at these concentration camps in Germany, and they're posing in inappropriate ways where they're either smiling or making funny faces or jumping up in the air, striking poses.
Yeah, maybe because it's an outside venue, like you said, it lends itself more to photography, but it just never even crossed my mind. It's so sombering. I don't know.
Is that a word?
I just wanted to...
Is sombering a word?
Sure.
Sombering?
It's a sombering kind of moment.
Very
sombering?
It's a somber moment, but it's
sombering.
Sombering?
That's the Santana song you were thinking of that I played.
Oh,
sombering.
That's right. Okay. I mixed
sombering.
It up. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Gary.
All right.
Well, the Holocaust Museum in D.C., they've got this, right toward the end, they've got this one thing where they've got all these shoes.
Right. I've seen a picture of that.
Oh. I mean, that's, you just walk out and you just go, whoa.
Whoa. You do the Lincoln, whoa.
I mean, it is.
That's what you do.
It's sad to think that that was only, what, 50, 60 years ago?
60, well, 70 now.
40s, yeah.
Yeah.
Still, jeez.
All right, the text number is 312-521-8600. And I saw a text here I wanted to read. I'm having Aaron print them out to have kind of a safety net in case they go by and I don't see them. Oh, you guys get upset when they show too much ankle. I can't wait for the American TV networks to be taken over by Univision and Telemundo, weather women. Now that's, yeah. That's completely...
Oh, that's over the top.
Off the charts.
That's everybody on there is Sofia Vergara.
You sound like Mr. Carlson from WKRP with your dress code. Hey, I'm just thinking that there was a breakdown in society. When did it start? How did it start? And I think it's the dress code thing. Because you have to admit, people look like slobs in places that they should have a little... more of an attire going. It's just where everything is casual and the flip-flop has become...
Oh, that's unbelievable. The flip-flop is everywhere. That is just accepted now, whether you go to a nice place or the beach.
I think dressing up is good every now and then. Not asking for a tuxedo. And our... Get well card, our 10-foot get well card going out to Elizabeth Vargas. She's back in rehab for alcoholism.
That hasn't been very long since she got out, has it? Is it even been 6 months?
Been watching her chart like I should.
I think it's been...
She was a Chicago reporter anchor, right?
Channel 2, definitely. She was here for several years.
I'll have to really put all my cards on the table about alcohol. Of all the things to get addicted to, I don't know. After I have a few and it's too many and the next, imagine that as a constant where your head throbs and I guess for the moment it takes the edge off, but then you go past it as people do with alcoholism and you got to feel like dog crap all the time.
But I don't think people are thinking the long term. They want to get the edge on right now.
Yeah, but there's that crash, and they keep going there.
But if you're an alcoholic, do you get the crash? See, I wonder if you just...
Oh, come on. You have to be.
But don't you get immune to that?
Junk half the time.
I don't... I don't know. I was assuming that there's...
I don't know.
I think you hit a certain point where you're just always kind of tipsy.
Let me go around the offices here. I'm sure I can find somebody that can tell us.
There's got to be a few rehabbers, right?
Oh, please.
I see a few chips laying on the floor every now
yeah,
and then.
Exactly. Half the people you go to lunch with here, I'll just have a club soda.
Yeah, right.
How about a little glass of wine? Oh, I can't touch the stuff anymore. That's too bad.
No, but I don't think that an alcoholic really...
Really?
Ever has the crash.
They're so pickled that they never...
Yeah, I just think that
get into that, oh, I feel like crap.
Well, I mean, I'm speaking, I have no idea. I'm not an alcoholic, but I just seems to me that they're either always kind of buzzed.
All right, let me go to the phone and ask an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Do you not ever...
If you can dial?
Get into that moment of... Geez, I feel like garbage, which after you've drank a lot in one sitting, yeah, after you've binged, that, why did I do that moment? You don't have that?
But don't you drink through, right? Don't you drink through that then? If you're feeling, then don't you start drinking again if you're an alcoholic?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking for somebody who's been through this to call.
But they can't dial.
Now, let's not have... No compassion.
No.
That was almost went double negative. Let's have some compassion. Let's not have no compassion. That was true. I canceled it outright.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're drunk, it's hard to see the little buttons.
All right. Again, show some compassion.
Now, she's married. Apparently, what happened, too, you know, she's married to the guy from Walking in Memphis, you know, Mark Cohn. That's who she's married to. And so, apparently, I just heard a story today that, so on her first rehab session, apparently he fooled around. So now she may have found out about that, and that led her to fall again.
That's all documented.
That's what they said, that he apparently had an affair during her rehab.
Jim.
Yeah, I'm Jim, and I'm an alcoholic.
All right, and explain. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
All right, that's right.
Do you not,
what's going on?
When you're boozing it up, do you never hit that, oh, man, do I feel like dog crap? You keep it above that?
Well, I think, at least in my case and some people I know, when I started feeling like dog crap, I would start drinking again, which ended up, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning.
See? So you just keep it going so you don't get down in that trough.
Yeah, my motto was avoid the hangover, stay drunk.
See?
Are you clean now?
Yeah, 20 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been a good run. And I've been listening to you for a long time, Gary. I want to tell you, I love your show, man.
Why did you get started, do you think, drinking?
Oh, man. 8 kids, handicapped father, not, you know, sitting in the basement, you know, trying to avoid, you know, all the craziness in the house.
How hard was it to quit?
It was hard to get to a point of really wanting to quit, and the tough part was staying stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would quit for a couple of days or a couple of weeks at a time, and, you know, to keep, you know, to not pick it up again, that was a tough thing. And that's where, you know, they have those programs and stuff that help people.
Sure.
You know, and I always say that you go to those things just to learn how to just keep it, you know, stay stopped.
And when you stayed sober for a number of months, years, whatever, and you look back on that time, how long were you an alcoholic?
I went from 13 to 30 drinking and 30 to 50 without one now. So
your life, when you look back, you think, how did I do that all those years.
Yeah, a lot of times. Yeah. A lot of times, you know, I mean, it was difficult, you know. It was more work to drink than there is to quit drinking, though. I'll tell you that in the big picture.
Yeah.
You know, it was trying to maintain it and then, you know, thinking people really don't get it. You know, I'll tell you, it's funny because I was working electrician and I was working at a job downtown, and this was at the end of the whole thing, and I would go to a bar down in the city and drink it, you know, from like 7 to 8 before I went in, and I would buy a pack of Juicy Fruit and chew the whole pack of Juicy Fruit and go to work, and I always think, what did brandy and Juicy Fruit smell like every morning? You know, but you think that you're hiding it because you're chewing Juicy Fruit.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, it was quite a battle.
All right,
sure.
Well, but, congratulations.
Yeah. Hey, and it's possible to stop if there's anyone out there that's, you know, trying. It works, you know, if you give it your best. So.
And you went to AA?
Yeah, I've done that, yeah. For sure. That's, I hear people that say that doesn't work and stuff. But my experience, and it's 20 years now, is, you know, that's the thing that does work. And, you know, I've seen enough people that it did work for to say that. It's pretty much proven to me that that's the thing that's going to, you know, help you, you know, stay clean and sober if you really, if that's what you really want to do.
All right. Appreciate it, Jim. So,
hey, and I love that. Was that a preacher you had on earlier talking about the Ferguson thing?
Yeah, that is a minister from Los Angeles. It's on my Facebook page if you missed it.
Good.
The whole thing is on there.
I'm going to check it out because, man, that guy nailed it. I grew up in the 70s, and we, you know, our block pretty much got overrun with the, you know, white flight of the 70s, and we had a lot of rough times with that. I don't hold any racist or bigoted attitude at all, but, man, I've seen a lot, and I think that guy nailed it when they say they just got to change.
Now, that way that was worded, because I got some text after I played it, it sounded like that guy was lumping all black people into this discussion. I don't think so. I think his focus, the part that I heard, was the shootings that happen week in and week out in a city like Chicago, and you don't get this kind of passion to, we got to stop this, and what's going on in Ferguson about the shooting is now lit up, and you got all the key people, Al Sharpton, I'm sure Jesse Jackson will be on board because it's getting a lot of attention, but we've got more than that going on every week here in Chicago, and you don't see anything going on as far as that kind of fever.
Jackson's on board. He was on CNN this morning.
Yeah, but again, he lives in Chicago. This is going on every week.
Oh,
why aren't you getting involved in that? Because it's black people killing black people, and you'd want to try to, I think, get your arms around that somehow.
Well, there was a guy that got killed in New York selling cigarettes on the street a couple weeks ago, and they choked him.
Right, it was a chokehold.
And Sharpton was right on that. And again, I think the same thing. When there's going to be, well, my opinion, money involved or something they can fight for, where there's going to be a lawsuit or something involved, there's a chance that I think they're going to make money on it. And when it comes to Chicago, there's nothing for them to come here and fight for.
Well,
you know, it's publicity.
That's a bigger issue if you want to talk about black people being killed. Those are the numbers that should be focused on. Not saying that you should just ignore this. There's going to be an investigation, no doubt, and we'll see how it all shakes out. But to start rioting and stealing stuff from black store owners, how does that help anybody?
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. It really is. It's sad. It's sad to see.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
All right, bud. Hey, great show, buddy.
Thank you. Pat?
Hello, Gary.
Hey, Pat.
Hey, Gary.
Are you the guy that does the Tom Skilling impression?
Yeah, and you were saying something about people to drink, and unfortunately I drink too much, and I'm drinking now.
And that's when you started to do your Tom Skilling impression. That's when it popped out. My word.
My word.
Oh, my word.
You want to do a little more now that you've started it up?
Hello, Gary. Grab your legs.
Ankles.
Well, no, he said, remember?
That's right. He said, grab your legs.
He said it once.
He said, grab your legs. I understand. But you are a drinker?
Well, yeah, and I'm 52, and I really didn't start drinking a lot until, well, actually, I haven't started drinking a lot until, like, the last 10 years. I've been drinking a lot.
And why are you doing that, do you think?
Well, part of the problem is, I don't know if I should say this, because I do work. I work at home four days out of five of the week, and it's a little easier to do it.
Plus, you're kind of, not kind of, you're isolated. There's nobody else around, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's
so it's a problem? You're saying it's a problem?
Well, I don't know if it's a problem. I do like it, so I don't know how to work with that.
How much do you drink?
Well, I drink beer most of the time, and it's, I don't know.
In a day, how much do you drink?
7 to 10 beers.
Every day.
And I've already had a lot now, and you guys were talking about this. I'm pretty coherent now still. Well,
how many
maybe
have you had?
Totally coherent. But
my word.
You should hear your call.
How many have you had so far, Pat?
Well, actually, I've had stronger ones today. I don't know if you remember this, Gary. I always tell you this. Well, I don't always tell you this. I sometimes tell you this in emails and texts. I like to drink Ham's Light, and that's like a real cheap beer.
Mm-hmm.
But I went down to the local brewery downtown yesterday and got a couple growlers, and they're stronger. So I just had one of those. So
you've only had one today?
No, one growler. That's like equivalent to about 7 beers probably.
So you've already had some Ham's Light and now a growler on top.
I'm getting ready to have Ham's Light. I just finished the growler.
Oh, I see. All right. And you've
a growler is 64 ounces.
Get out.
And it's like 6.1. I think it was 6.1 on the Jeez. Alcohol scale.
Pat,
ABV.
Are you married?
Yes, I'm married.
And your wife is okay with all this?
Well, my wife likes to drink vodka and rum.
Okay. She's got the growler too.
But it's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Is what we're talking about. That's a desperately sick lie.
It's sort of half and half, you know. I would like to stop, but you know, I don't know what to do. And I haven't drank my whole life. I mean, not like this. I've just been doing this like the last 10 years, I would say.
Just the last 10 years.
Huh.
And you know, was there something that started it? Is that what happened?
There's no one pinpoint that did it.
No.
I don't know what it was.
And you never feel bad at all through all this?
Well, you were asking about and stuff like that, but I usually feel a little bit in the morning, but then I get over it and I think, I'll have a few beers.
About I'll have a Ham's o'clock. Light, maybe
it's
a growler.
Because I like to drink, you know, for your show. So.
Thank you. It's much much better when you have a few growlers.
But I'm not going to say that I've never, I know you don't like this, going out on the wheel, but I usually don't. Most of the times,
Pat,
I don't.
Please don't tell me you're drinking and driving.
No, I'm not driving right now. No,
I
I'm
know that, but you indicated there that you do.
Well, occasionally,
please.
But it's
please
usually,
don't do that.
I've really done better in the last couple years, rarely.
All right. You've got to cut it down to zero. And if you want, you can be my guest at the AIM benefit this October and then tell me that you'll ever get behind the wheel after having some drinks. Go see these people that have been affected by drunk driving.
Well, you know, I went to a golf tournament a couple years ago here in Indy,
mm-hmm.
and it was a hot day in late fall, and I kind of conked out, and I was getting kicked around by police a little bit, and I had to call an ex-brother-in-law to bring me home, and he did.
That's
I knew
good.
He was around.
Well, that's good.
And that did help me. I've cut it down, I'd say, about 88% since then.
All right, you've got to get down to zero driving after drinking. That's your goal. Come on.
I would agree.
Yeah. And please, again, I'll be happy to have you sit at my table, and we'll talk about how you've gotten down to zero drinking and driving.
Drinks are on Gary.
Yeah, there is no liquor at this event. So just have a Coke or a glass of water.
So they don't have a bar, right?
No.
Wow.
How would you have a bar when you have all these people that have been affected by drunk driving?
But isn't there something about how you can still go out and enjoy a drink without being too drunk to drive? Isn't that...
I'm sure that...
Do they preach abstinence?
No,
hey,
not
Gary.
Necessarily, but these people have all been affected by drunk drivers, so why would you want alcohol anywhere near this event? Pat?
Yeah, when I tell you I do it once in a while, it's early and it's still not that much. Just so you know, I don't go out and
drive.
Okay, but and I've had
again,
10
Pat,
beers.
Pat, you don't need much to have your functioning affected. when you're driving. Please get it down to zero. You can, I'm not telling you not to drink. You obviously like to drink. Drink at home. Leave it at that. Or have somebody drive you.
Oh, my word.
Pat.
When in doubt, yeah. He goes for the impersonation.
Right. Grab, Pat, grab your legs. All right. Thanks, Pat, for sharing.
Okay.
All right.
That's why he's always laughing.
Wow.
But see, so they basically, it seems that at least the few that we talked to, they just drink themselves right through the crash.
I don't know how you do it because, in fact, yesterday, last night, my wife and I were at dinner. We go to this place fairly often, and the waiter comes up, and he said, can I take your drink order? He looked at me and goes, oh,
uh-oh.
But I know you probably don't want to drink, do you? You don't usually drink. So I got a reputation for not drinking, mm-hmm. whatever that is.
Well, maybe they think you're one
I
of
said,
those guys that can't
Arnold
drink.
Arnold Palmer, thank you. I on a Sunday night, I don't know if I'm ready to, not that having a glass of wine or anything's going to do anything. It's just, right. I got to be in the mood. I'm not one of those people that can just drink. I got to have a mood, a reason, or whatever.
And but so now, I wonder if he thinks that you're like a recovered alcoholic.
No, maybe next time I got to order a wine just to make sure.
Yeah, just to make sure that he knows that you're not, on the wagon.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Jim?
Hey, tell Pat I'll talk to him if you want to talk to me about his drinking.
You're the guy that was an alcoholic.
I just talked to you a minute ago, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where that's going. Oh, I only drive 12% of the time when I'm drinking. That's not good.
Like they say, buzz driving is drunk driving.
Yeah. And if you get popped and you blow on the breathalyzer and it's over the limit, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yeah, big time.
Big time.
Hey, when's your that AIM thing? I'd love to go to it, Garrett.
It's in October. I'll have all the info on my Facebook page.
Also, if they ever need people to talk about the recovery aspect of the whole thing, feel free to let me know.
I will do that.
Okay, I'll shoot you a text with my number.
Okay. Thanks. All right, thanks, Jim.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, if you ever had any doubts, go to that event, and you won't even have a sip and get behind the wheel. It is so, and I don't mean to pun this, sobering to see these people that have been affected.
See, it is a word.
She said sombering, right?
Oh, she said sombering or something?
Yeah, it was not. No, it wasn't sobering.
It was sobering.
I know sobering's a word. And you should try it, too.
Woo-hoo. Well, did she ever
smell his breath?
Well, no, but when they have do they actually have people give testimonials at this?
They have, right. Victims of drunk drivers get up. And there are so many levels of that afternoon that are mind-blowing. They honor these policemen who've written the most DUIs. There must be 15 cops up there that have written hundreds. And you're thinking, okay, these are the ones they caught.
In a year.
Yeah, in 1 year.
Wow.
And here are these people driving around drunk. And again, they're like terrorists. You don't know when they could strike and they could kill you. What's the difference?
Well, we're at, what is it? It's August. And I think on the Eisenhower Expressway, we're at 5...
It's over
60-something.
I'll get that in 1 second.
But I don't know if that's all drunk driving, but think about, by August, we've already had 500-and-some people killed on the highway.
546 is where we stand right now.
Yeah,
and we'll always get around 1,000. That seems to be the number.
And you were saying about the breathalyzer, it doesn't really take that much
to
blow
I've had
more
one
than
or
a
two
point
beers.
08.
If you are legally over that limit, good luck.
Yeah, it does not take that much.
Which is why they should have more breathalyzers available to people everywhere.
Like, why can't a bar have that?
I think because they're worried about
then they're on the
hook. Litigation.
Somebody blows over the limit, and then they leave, and then something happens, then they go, oh, why didn't you stop
them?
You
should have checked them.
Right,
but why can't I have that like a pregnancy test now? Why can't I just buy one?
I think you can, but they really should be less costly, because you would hope that people would have a really good idea of what that limit is and, well, hopefully stay well below it.
Because I'd like to find that out, just because how do I know until I get caught?
All right, well.
Like, how do I know what my limit is?
Well, like you said, though, but generally speaking, two should do you.
Two beers?
How many do you need to get loosened up and then you drive home?
Yeah, but do you get drunk on two beers?
Some people do.
But I'm just saying, I don't know. I know I don't.
I'll tell you, they'll do the courtesy check if they think that you're inebriated, they'll pull you over and they'll do a courtesy. That's gratis.
Oh,
and
they then, do that?
Well, if you
no, they don't.
No, because I don't do anything like
officer. I'm feeling a little tipsy.
I've
could
only
you
had
check
two.
My blood alcohol level?
But if I was at home one day and I knew I wasn't going to drink, then I would be. I would sit there with a six pack, and I would drink one, and I would blow it, and I would say,
right,
okay,
but that is not. You're not in game conditions. I mean, you'll be on the road. You
how
might
much
be driving erratically.
And
yeah,
stuff has something
about,
to
how about
do with
you
it.
Have the wife drive. Well, you just lie in the back, passed out, like you usually do.
Right, exactly.
And on Christmas Eve, when you start drinking at noon.
I never go out on
just
Christmas
stay
Eve.
Stay home.
We just
eat pass
in.
Out on the nativity
at,
scene.
At 4:30.
And have the manger go up your nose.
I start at 3, and by 4:30, I'm...
under the tree.
With the hat on over my head.
It's a good thing you're not a dad, I think.
521-8600. Kevin on. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Jim.
What's up?
I want to tell you, you know, I was such a bad drunk. I've been sober for 30 years, but I used to walk to the bar so that I wouldn't drive drunk. Then I would get drunk, and I'll have someone drive me back to the car and drive my car back to the bar. Thank God I never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Because I could have. I was just really lucky. And, you know, Jim was... You know, and I think that it should be zero. I mean, everybody knows now. Just get somebody to drive you. You wouldn't believe how many baseball games I get invited to. Because I could just drive everybody home. You know?
That's right, because you can't drink.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm fine with it. But, you know, Jim was talking about the Eisenhower. Jim, I was driving home on the Eisenhower one night about 1 o'clock in the morning. This car comes flying up behind me. He slows down and gets next to me, beeps his horn. His girlfriend's so excited, she's jumping up on top of his lap. And look at him, he takes off again.
Great. That's the Eisenhower
love
for
the
you.
That's distracted driving right there.
Yeah, you can't find that on the Kennedy. That's an Eisenhower thing
you
only.
You don't see that on the Edens.
They have their own different theater on those. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, guys.
Connie?
Yeah, hi, Gary.
Hey, Connie.
I just wanted to let you know, a couple years ago, I bought a device like a little breathalyzer for my daughter at Costco. It's about half the size of a deck of cards. You blow into it, and it was about $24. She's like 24 now. So she keeps it in her purse, and, you know, it's handy.
Does she have a drinking problem or something?
She does not, but she's a young, you know, 20-some-year-old, and I just thought it was neat that she could check it out before she leaves if she's out with friends and make sure
that
she's not over.
Was that a stocking stuffer, or was that just an outright gift?
Secret Santa.
It was just a gift, yeah.
Oh, you got me the breathalyzer. Oh, Mom, I love you.
She does like it. It's kind of a novelty item in her purse,
guess.
Too.
Yeah, the thing you got to worry about as a young lady at a bar is somebody slipping you a roofie.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a sippy cup when you're sitting there.
Absolutely.
So they can't get in.
She's pretty responsible, so I'm glad at least she's got that. She can make sure that she's not over when she does go out with friends.
I agree.
All right.
Thank you, Connie.
Bye-bye.
So they do have them in some
Costco
fashion then.
Didn't she say Costco?
Yeah.
But you have to buy a pallet of them. You have to buy 1,500 of them. Can't just get one thing. 312-521-8600. That is the text number and the phone number. Here's a parent of the year contender. Police have arrested a Connecticut woman accused of leaving her 22-month-old child alone in a car outside a bar as she enjoyed drinks with friends. Witness called police after finding the child sleeping alone in a locked car. Police said she told officers she had only been gone a few minutes, but a witness said she had several alcoholic drinks at the bar. 22-month-old kid in the car, locked. Who knows how hot it was in there.
Haven't we heard
How about we don't have the kids? If you want to go bar hopping and
don't have them.
And there's no male figure or anybody else to watch the kid, maybe you're not a parent type.
Those genes don't really need to be passed on. I got news for you. Not everybody's genes need to be passed on. Yeah. Sometimes it's good if the tree just stops dead and it's just a stump.
Attaboy. That's why Bibble stayed away from it.
Hey,
he knew.
I knew.
He doesn't need that.
Hey. You know, we were in Menards yesterday, right? So we're in the parking lot. This guy has his kid in his cart, right, in the little seat. In the cart is in the middle of the parking. So you got cars on both sides, and mm-hmm. I would drive my car in the middle. That's where the cart is. He's loading his car with stuff, and his kid is in the middle where I'm going to drive.
How old was the kid about?
Oh, two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've noticed that a lot lately where little kids are not supervised, where the parent is walking about 4 feet ahead of them, and there's traffic all over, and these kids could dart anywhere.
But this kid's sitting in the cart, and the cart is in the middle where the traffic will go. And he's over there loading his car. I'm like,
hey.
If there's a multiple choice for how to have a kid and how to parent, if my kid was in a cart, would I, A, put the cart in the middle of the traffic, or I put it on the side of the car by me?
You should have done a citizens.
Oh.
Made out some kind of citation right there.
Way too easy.
Gary, staring at the computer. Apparently I've been too long. Staring at the computer screen, looking at your last name, Meyer, and Jonathan Brandmeier's last name. What's up with the both Myers being off the radio station? For some reason, that just hit me. Well, that's a leap. It's a coincidence. Yes, the Meyer part of Brandmeier is spelled the same way as mine. So you have some suspicion that that's why we're both off the AM?
What's
it's that Meyer thing.
That Meyer.
We've got to get both of them off.
Not a good name. What are you saying? What is this guy saying?
I don't know what he's saying. He's trying to make some
is he trying to say
connect
some kind
the
of
dot situation here.
Like racist thing or something?
Racist.
Well, I mean, is anti-German?
Maybe that's it.
I don't know.
Maybe give out GM breathalyzers as the next item.
Yeah. I think that's something that if we can have a pregnancy test that you can buy and, you know, they have to go find out if the rabbit died anymore, then why can't I should be able to do that.
Well, you know where to get one now.
That's $24. Isn't that bad either? Could save a life.
So you would need to blow into it because you're where are you? Where you're drinking?
I don't even remember the last time I drank. To be honest with you,
Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I mean, I am not a drinker. I'll have wine at home. You know, maybe once a month. I mean, very few. I'll have a beer if somebody's having a beer at the house. But what I'm trying to get a point is that I don't know what my limit is. Because you said it depends on how much you eat. It depends on how much your body type. So you might have one beer and blow a .8. I might have five beers. I'd like to know where that is in case I do go out to have a party or something. And
just,
you start
just
to drink.
Just plan ahead.
How do you plan ahead? What does that mean?
Have your wife not drink. And
oh, right. Well, she doesn't
pass
really
out
drink.
In the back seat.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually par for the course.
Sure. No, sombering, the act of feeling somber. I guess it's a real word.
Yeah.
When she said it, I didn't
it's sombering. Yeah.
Think, oh, is that?
That's a sombering thought.
That was a real word, sombering.
Yeah.
That's a nice title for a poem, though. Sombering.
It is. As he sat
sombering
among the trees.
Thank you. Leslie.
Aaron.
I'm sorry, Aaron, delivering the next batch of texts. I just looked up and saw a female.
There's
Aaron.
A girl. It has to be
girl.
Leslie.
It's Leslie or Aaron. That's the only two that work on the show. Story about a base jumper, Lonnie Bissonette. He's never happier than when he's jumping off a tall object, be it a bridge, antenna, building, or Mother Earth. Bissonette has been a base jumper for 20 years. And doesn't let anything stop him from enjoying his beloved hobby. Not even a terrible accident 10 years ago at a bridge in Idaho that left him permanently paralyzed. There's a picture of him. Now he's base jumping in the wheelchair.
Oh, come on.
I never felt rushed to do it, but a friend brought up the anniversary, and I knew I had to do it on that day. The tragic accident in 2004 happened to be Bissonette's 11th 100th jump. It's that 1100th one that's the doozy, as they say. I wanted to do something special to commemorate it.
Turned out being the last one.
He lined up six other Canadian base jumpers to join in, and he planned to do a quadruple gainer as the last jumper on that 1100th jump.
Couldn't stop at 1099, right?
However, he jumped out too far, which slowed his rotational speed in an attempt to prevent injuring his fellow jumpers. Oh, he's a hero. Bissonnette threw the pilot chute a split second early, and it wrapped around his still rotating legs, and he hit the water head first. Legs permanently paralyzed. But now he's still doing it in a wheelchair.
Well, probably feels, what does he have to lose now?
Well, right? Now it's just the extremities of the arms.
Yeah.
And you're pretty much done.
I mean, what,
right. This is
go for the whole shebang.
Best time to do it.
Yeah. Plus, now I'm sure he's viral because you got a guy in a chair.
Right.
Is he in the actual chair doing it?
Yeah. The picture is he's going off, looks like a cliff, and he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And he's got the parachute. Now, see, with all the wheels and stuff, that seems like it would be leading to more tragedy. Because it's got a lot more machinery you're carrying around.
Yeah, but now you're probably like a plane. He probably like lands.
Right.
Wheels.
Right. You keep the back wheels down, front wheels up, and then you
down.
Touch the back wheels, and then you bring the front wheels down.
This is actually probably what he should have had the first time. You know, I've been hearing a lot more accidents with this skydive. I'm glad I did it when I did, because I don't think I'm ever going to do it again. I did it once, but I'm hearing a lot of, and I think the place that I went to, there's been a few accidents.
Well,
I'm sort of glad I did it and got it over with. And
you got it over with, like it's a physical or something.
Well,
you have to get it done.
Well, I always thought I wanted to
like
do
a
it.
Colonoscopy. Glad I got it done.
That I
feel good.
Done. That's the irony. I haven't done that yet.
I'll try that and then do sky jumping.
No, but I always felt I wanted to do it, and I did it, but I'm thinking, boy, maybe I was really lucky that nothing happened. Because
you know who's a big jumper, maybe still is Jackie Bang. I covered her doing
your
that.
Pardon?
Where she would do those formations with a bunch of other jumpers.
Yeah.
And she would do 10 jumps a day.
It's kind of like this, 1,100. You know, you're kind of
pushing it.
Pushing it. You know, you
well, again,
it
was that 1,100th one that was the doozy. The Lulu, as they call it.
Man. But here he is again. So there must be
now,
some.
Now, again, his.
Yeah, he's got nothing to lose.
He does. It's the use of his arms.
Yeah, okay.
Or death.
Big whip.
But.
I mean, at this point.
The legs are gone.
Yeah.
You have a bigger chance of just enjoying it. You're 50% more likely to enjoy it without worrying about what's going to go.
And man, doesn't he? I mean, I wonder how fast he goes down now with that chair. That's got to be an extra 100 pounds, right?
How much does a wheelchair weigh? I don't know.
I don't know.
The ones at the airport are 500 pounds, so people won't steal them.
Is that true? Is that why those guys that are pushing it always feel like they're pushing like a boulder?
Well, if you noticed, they don't fold, and then they have a big pole that comes up, so you can't just throw it in your trunk.
It's like a sissy bar.
They figured this is too clumsy for people to steal.
They weigh that? Do you know that, or you just?
I don't know that.
Oh, but where are you going to steal it? What do you mean? Where are we going to walk out with it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's.
It's not the hospital. You have to.
No, but I'm sure they've had in the past people steal them, and they thought, how can we prevent this? So that's why you see that big pole on them, and I don't think they fold.
Really?
Yeah, because you got to be one step ahead of the ne'er-do-well. Anything that is semi-valuable, people will steal.
It doesn't have to be valuable.
I have a story in that same theme. These people were doing a bike ride. This is kind of funny. Where is that story? The people that were doing this bike ride from Alaska to South America.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Is there even a route? Isn't there water?
I don't know. I'm not going to worry about a route. I'm not going to do it. So they stopped. Where is that story?
Leslie, where is that story?
Leslie, Aaron? Leslie Jean? Leslie, Aaron Jean? That story about the two bike riders.
In Alaska.
Going from Alaska to South America. Well, It ended when they got to, I believe, Seattle. They got their bike stolen.
That's it. They just got to Seattle?
They got to Seattle, which nothing. Is still a, well, from Alaska, it's a hell of a ride.
Yeah, but it's not that far.
I can't see it now. Every time I want the story. You know where you put that one?
Here we go. Look at that.
There it is.
Look at that.
She knows.
Like a laser beam.
She spreads them out. She knows. Couple riding from Alaska to South America had their bicycle stolen in Washington State. They're asking the public to help find them. They're looking for a black Trek hybrid with blue trim and a black Apollo Trace 2.0 hybrid.
Oh, I'm sure we'll find that.
Yeah.
That's no problem. It hasn't been painted.
I'll get on that right away.
Yeah. Oh, that black one? Oh, the black bike.
The Trek had two black bags on the back tire with a yellow bag above, as well as gray bags on the front tire.
Oh, I saw that one.
The other bike had two black bags on the back tire and two red bags on the front tire. Police say the bags had the couple's clothing, sleeping bags, tents, and other travel items. They were taken when the couple stopped to have dinner.
And they
don't you have a lock?
Yeah, come on. Even one of those bad combination locks with the four little numbers that you twirl.
Or take the seat off or something.
Yeah. Or take the tire with you.
Well, the handlebar had the handlebars.
The handlebar.
The handlebar. Let me blow into that breathalyzer.
You might need that, yeah. Mr. Point 8.
Handlebars.
Handlebars.
Where are my handlebars?
Where are my handlebars?
Where's my
bike? I got my bike. I got my knapsack. I put them on my handlebars.
I got it. So you walk out of the restaurant. You're all ready to head back.
Your trek is over.
To that trail down to South America, and it's all done.
And you made it, 200 miles? I mean, if they're in Washington State from Alaska, that's just over the line. They didn't even go anywhere.
It's
got to
be more than 200 miles from Alaska Washington State, right?
Isn't that right above it?
No, there's some Canada in between.
Oh, is there a little Canada? Oh, that's right. There's Vancouver.
Yeah, there's a lot more.
All right, that's because you went to Vancouver, right?
Yeah.
And you went through Seattle. So you drove that?
No, we went from...
Seattle to Vancouver, I thought.
No, we didn't go to Seattle.
You didn't?
No.
Where did you land?
Are you talking about the cruise or when I went to the Blackhawks?
No, the Blackhawks thing.
We flew to Seattle.
Right.
And then drove to Vancouver.
That's what I just said.
Okay.
On your handlebars.
I thought you were talking about the cruise.
No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
To Alaska.
No, but I'm saying, so you drove that where they biked.
Okay, but I'm... They started from Alaska.
I understand that, but they had to go through Vancouver and Seattle.
They made it from Alaska to this Mount Vernon, Washington.
Well, they hardly got anywhere, though. I mean,
but
their grand scope.
Their destination was South America.
Yeah, so they didn't even scratch the surface. This is like probably their second meet.
They probably paid somebody to steal them. Do you really want to do this? No. They got to Mount Vernon.
There's a bike right here. Right here, a bike.
Yeah, I don't want to do it. Maybe we can have somebody steal the bikes.
Yeah, it's like... I think we're going to be eating for about an hour and a half, and I don't have my lock on my bike, anyone who wants to steal it.
It's a hybrid bike. Does that mean it's electric, too?
Maybe. I think Dave Novotny has an electric bike, he said. He's got some kind of a motorized bike.
Isn't that cheating if you're doing one of these marathon things?
Oh, yeah.
That's
cheating. I think there's a board that will come down and have an official...
Right. You're not going to get any credit for this.
Yeah.
So it's
You can do it if you want.
That the bikes were stolen.
Maybe they found that out. Oh, you mean this isn't going to count?
It is sad that people will steal anything. That's why these restaurants have to chain all of their outdoor furniture together at night because they know the next day it'll be all gone. So that one poor guy has to stack all the chairs, all the tables, then run that long cord through everything.
It's almost like a bike lock. Then
it is.
Yeah.
I want to say there was a case in Oak Park last year where a woman was stealing like garden gnomes and lawn furniture and all this stuff, and then she had a brick and mortar store where she was selling it all. And some of the local residents went, that looks just like my garden gnome, and it turns out it was.
That's Harvey. Wait a minute.
So, yes,
not,
people
not
will steal anything.
No, you know, Harvey the Gnome.
Harvey the Gnome.
Harvey the Gnome.
Okay, that's Arthur.
There's another story in that thing, if I can find it.
Oh, by the way, Leslie, he thought you were Aaron.
All right, I saw somebody come in. I didn't look up.
He goes, hi, Aaron, Leslie.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I look just like young, zesty Aaron.
I just
No, it's okay. I'm good with it. I'm just fine with that.
All right, Aaron, where's the story? Damn, I can't find anything.
It's on your handlebars.
All right, let it go.
Did he say handlebars? Oh.
Yeah.
It happened.
Well, we were talking about alcoholics, and I think he's just
the osmosis. Lego story. I have a lazy tongue today. And a lazy ear, and a lazy belly button. You ever had that combination?
The lazy belly button.
Oh yeah, this sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like a half in, half out. Like it doesn't know where to go.
A cup of ice water challenge for you for the lazy tongue, lazy navel situation.
Today, one of the salespeople comes in. He's in shorts and a t-shirt. And I go, "What are you doing?" Yeah. I gotta go do the ice bucket challenge. I go, "Why?" Because I was challenged. By some other people here.
Yeah, so cut a check.
Yeah.
Write the check, and then you don't have to put water over your head.
Well, but then it's not fun.
Okay.
Worked for me.
You can have, I've heard of lazy eyes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Lazy it's usually where one
can
is.
All your body parts go lazy?
Yeah, it's called a lazy Susan.
No. The I mean, you're.
Hey, there are days where I have lazy tongue. I don't know so much about the lazy navel. Because I have a delightful innie, so I don't understand that part, but yeah.
Yep. What is a lazy eye?
It's where one just kind of moves. They don't focus straight ahead. One generally looks like it's looking off in another direction.
Like a lizard.
Right.
And yeah. They're independent of each other.
Like if you had a glass eye, sometimes you could tell the difference. One isn't moving and the other one is kind of off to the side.
Nice.
Or isn't it sometime where the eyelid falls too?
I think that's called a lazy eyelid.
Isn't that a drink? Let me have a lazy eyelid for my handlebars.
Okay, so a friend of mine works at a grocery store, and she got a list of rules for like the person who oversees the self-checkout. And one of the rules that we liked the best was appear to be aware.
Appear to be aware.
So I'm like, okay, so here's what you do. You get those eyeballs tattooed on your eyelid, and you can sleep through your shift.
Like Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Exactly. So all you had to do was appear to be aware.
And you brought that up because earlier I talked about going to a self-checkout.
Right.
And the protocol, I thought, was if everyone is occupied as far as the checkout areas, you stand there, and then the first available.
Right. I like you would at a bank.
Yeah, but somebody claimed, standing next to me, that there are lines, left and right line. No.
It depends on what store you go into and, like, who takes charge of the situation. I like what you are talking about because invariably I'll get into the wrong line while somebody's using the machine for the first time ever. Yeah, just make sure that the next person gets the next available.
Well, the Jewel that I go to, they got rid of the self ones, and what they've done is exactly what you said. They've actually set up like a velvet rope kind of thing in a kind of a way that you can only be in one line.
Right.
So this way you can't be multiple lines. You have to wait for the next available person.
There was a text said that they're remodeling all these Jewel food stores and taking out the self-checkout as they do that.
They said they want to have a more personal interaction with their customers.
But so what they have done, they've taken those out, and then they have built these kind of quick, like four different little stations of 15 items or less.
Fewer.
So if you were going into that self thing because you wanted to go faster, you'd still be able to go. But they did do this thing because what was happening was exactly what you're saying. They were on two sides, and people were making these lines, and it was just
helter-skelter.
Crazy. So now they've actually roped it off, so it's only one single line, and you go to the next available person.
When you go to the manual, the cashier checkout,
right?
What's the deal? When you put your stuff on there, should you put the divider in back of your stuff?
I always do.
I do.
Yeah, or you should let the next person do it.
No, I always do.
Oh, I do it because it's kind of the invitation. Okay, this is mine. Now you're welcome to put whatever you want to on the conveyor.
And you can start.
Right,
letting the person behind me know they can start.
And until they do that, you could be standing behind a person with a gallon of milk in your hand, and then they almost give you a stink eye if you grab it yourself. So
I do it.
We should
what
all work together.
What if there's a stain of some sort on the belt? Every now and then you'll see some wet stain.
Like from a milk.
Yeah, who wipes that up?
Well, the cashier is
supposed to do that.
We used to do that. You have a little bottle with the little spritz.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of that going on, though.
No?
No.
Wow. No, we used to always, in fact, we used to always clean our belts. Like if it was kind of slow, you'd turn your belt on and you'd clean your belt with the, you know, with the little spray, little Windex, whatever was in the little bottle. But you'd clean your belt off.
All right, clean the belt.
Yeah.
A hybrid bike is not quite a mountain bike and also not quite a road bike. It's not electric, though. It's a combo. It's mountain and road.
Oh,
so it's got the thicker tires and not the super, super suspension, but decent suspension.
And both of their bikes got ripped off?
Yeah. Two bikes, $1,900. Camping equipment, $500. $20 lock, priceless.
Right.
Which they didn't have, apparently.
Testing out.
Go.
Ron, are you paying attention?
Nope.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Take that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Good evening, Greece and Greektown. A couple in Queens filed a lawsuit saying the NYPD ransacked their home probing the dad's accidental shooting of their son.
I want every available man on this.
The lawsuit goes on to say the wife's sex toys were dumped in their 5-year-old daughter's bedroom.
That's a rash decision.
The officers also crushed electronic tablets, stepped on toy train sets, poured out cereal, dumped cinnamon spice on the kitchen counter, pulverized a nightlight, and broke a muffin maker. No, none of those things is a sex toy. A woman climbed into a giraffe enclosure at the Madison, Wisconsin Zoo. The giraffe licked her, then kicked her in the face. Let's review. Hot coffee is hot.
Yes.
Killer whales kill.
Yes.
And a lot of people are stupidos.
Stupid!
As far as dumping ice water over your head, Lou Gehrig wouldn't do it. And he's the poster boy for ALS.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
And stay off my side.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. Hold me. I'm trending.
Kapoor-ya!
I'm Gary Meyer on the Super G. WGN.FM, Chicago.
Ferguson is by the St. Louis Airport. Yeah, in the St. Louis area then. Got that going for us? And there's something about when I say 15 items or less, it should be 15 items or fewer.
Or few, why? What's the difference?
It, grammatically, it's not correct if I say less.
Isn't that what it says on
15 items or less?
In the
right. Well, then I guess they're all wrong, right?
Grocery store, doesn't it say that on the sign?
Leslie had the explanation of that because I brought it up off the air when I first said it and got a text. 15 items or fewer. She'll explain it. There is
but
a reason
does
why.
But it say that at the store.
Then
right?
They're wrong. It says here on this text that Jewel is removing these self-service checkout counters because of five-finger discounts.
Well, they claim it's because they want to have a more interactive personal experience with their customers.
Well, they got to say that because they don't want to call the listeners, the customers,
right.
Ne'er-do-wells. How about you just protect your credit and debit card information? How about working on that for a few minutes?
So, you know, they as part of the a consolation, they said that they would offer all of their customers a year of free, like, internet security or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was reading a story, and the guy said, basically, that doesn't really do much. You're just better off to check your own, you know.
Sure, your
statements.
Statements every month.
Yeah. He says, because what's going to wind up happening is that it's not bad. If it's free, okay, fine. But then about 6 months in, that company's going to start to, you know, inundate you with stuff to say, hey, why don't you take our service now after this free thing? And then you're going to be inundated with, you know.
I just can't believe they didn't ramp up as every other retailer should have after Target went through this.
Hopefully.
You had a warning. What else do you need?
But isn't that, maybe they did, and this person found a way through that. I mean, you never know. They're not going to say what they did.
I was talking before the news break about a Lego story. Here it is out of Arizona. Police say they've broken up an elaborate Lego toy theft operation. More than $250,000 worth of, it says Legos, but as we know now, it's Lego bricks. That's the plural of Lego. Were found in a garage. Authorities spent 10 hours taking the stuff out by truckload. 10 hours removing Legos.
Well, because they were starting to make stuff as they were in there. It was too much to...
And this guy has been charged with the theft.
Jeez.
Troy Keller.
So there would be black market Lego bricks then, right?
He was buying expensive Lego sets at a discount from shoplifters, then reselling the items over the internet. It says here his neighbor claims that there would be late night phone calls and he'd be out for hours past midnight just talking on the phone and we didn't know why. Who's this Mrs. Kravitz? How would you know that he's on the phone after midnight? Unless he's on the lawn on his cell phone. That, I thought, was odd.
And we saw quite a few white little bricks all over his yard.
All the time. Yeah. Keller would recruit people to go into Toys R Us stores and steal the Lego bricks, but they would damage the boxes in the process. They would take the Lego bricks to Keller, who would go inside the store and buy a legitimate box. Then he would use that real receipt to take back the damaged box, pocketing the money, and then selling the stolen Lego bricks online to collectors. Apparently, that Lego bricks thing is huge because...
It's got to be.
I didn't think there were that many that were odd pieces, but it seems like they have a lot of odd pieces that are worth more.
Collectors.
And one of the listeners that was at the 22nd floor broadcast, and an artist, he drew that chalk drawing of me.
Oh, yeah.
He also took the Lego piece that said Gary Meyer, yeah. WGNAM, uh-huh. Because that doesn't apply anymore. But the Lego master is too busy to fix it. So this Roberto said, let me work on it. I guess he's close to having it all redone.
So what did he put on it?
It's going to be .fm. And Freeform or something.
Oh,
he said
goodness.
He really tricked it up. He even got new Lego bricks to add. So thank
wow.
you.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because that's quite an endeavor.
So many things went obsolete on that day.
Oh.
I got Dreamliner AM720 pins.
Yeah, that Lego thing you got.
That Lego thing.
Was relatively new.
The stuff that Dave Novotny made me that said AM720. Well, what am I going to do with this
right.
now?
That's right. All your skyline, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, for this guy to do that, that's really nice because that's going to be that's a huge project.
Yeah,
because
that's a very nice piece. And I didn't want to just take it apart and have a box of Lego bricks.
Why? You could have sold them on the internet.
Well, I didn't know this guy was trafficking.
You could have gotten
right.
in touch with him. Hey, man, I got a huge stash here. I can't believe that the Lego master suddenly copped an attitude.
Well, I don't know. He might be doing a lot of things, and that was a novelty
yeah.
that he spent a little time with me, had him on the show in February, and then he moved on. But he did great stuff, does great stuff.
That's very cool.
A former morgue attendant in Ohio admits having sex with up to 100 bodies during his years working the night shift and says drugs and alcohol are to blame every time.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
The scale of Kenneth Douglas's depravity came to light during a court hearing in which a federal panel ruled that families of victims could sue Hamilton County for failing to protect bodies in the morgue. He worked the night shift from 76 until 1992, was sentenced to prison in 08. And pleaded guilty 2 years ago to abusing the bodies of two other women. Okay, there are a lot of sick rangers out there.
This guy
goes
right to the top. Oh, I don't care.
Well, how would they... This guy is working the night shift. He's probably there by himself. How do you protect the bodies? Because that was his job.
He's protection.
Right. Unless they could lock the coolers.
But you can't. What if they need him? Boy, that was like...
His wife testified that she had complained to the morgue supervisor about her husband coming home from work smelling of sex and booze. but her concerns were ignored.
How could he smell like sex? She's not. These are dead bodies.
I don't know, but maybe she's got a trained nostril. God. He was caught in 08 when his DNA was found in a 1991 murder victim whose killer filed an appeal. When you think you've heard about the sickest person, this comes along.
Oh. Is that against the law?
Yes, I would think so, yeah.
But, I mean, it's not rape.
Well, I'm sure there's some other law that covers it. Well, he went to prison in 08, so they got him on something.
Yeah, there must be something.
Yeah, I hope so.
Defacing a corpse or something? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't care how drunk you get. That should never be an option. No one's looking that good.
Well, that puts it in perspective. Thank you. I was wondering.
I mean, come on.
Wow. There's a lot going on while we all sleep, isn't there?
Oh, there is so much.
And
I mean, even this Lego thing. You know, you got up today. You went to work. Did you know that there's some guy out there that's recruiting people? Okay, go into the store, steal some Legos, break the box. I'll come out. I'll get the...
That's going on as we speak around the world.
I know.
Scam artists in motion doing something that is either disgusting or illegal.
Everywhere we went on this cruise, they said, be careful, pickpockets.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
That's how they make their living, just picking your pocket.
And somebody said they saw a line in one of the towns. 8 people were in line. They came back to the ship, and they were reporting that they got pickpocketed. So here's a guy.
After they were told to be careful.
They're told you, every place. Everybody told you, be careful of pickpockets. It was you couldn't help but know this. But I'm just sitting there. So now in this town, I could see why, because there were 4 cruise ships that came into this small city. So this must have been...
Oh, it's the Super Bowl with pickpockets.
And I was sitting there. I had my hands in both pockets the whole time. And I could totally see how this can happen. But at the same time, you're sitting there going, so now here's a guy who says, it's Monday.
Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Cruise ships are coming in. I'm going to work today.
And he was successful.
Oh, I can't. I mean, it's just a weird. But I guess if you're a criminal, that's what you do.
Right. That's why they're called a criminal.
I guess, but...
That is their job title.
And this one guy says that he... What they tell you, too, is talk about how you get completely blinded by this. So they say, do not stop if someone asks you to take a picture. Because that is a way. You take the camera, you take the picture, you're oblivious, and then other guy comes.
Yeah, there's that other scam where somebody shoots mustard on your shirt or something, and then you're obviously startled. And as you're trying to figure that out, they got another mope that's taking the stuff out of your pocket.
But who am I to talk? Because we were in one of these palaces, right? And this young guy says, pardon me, could you take my picture? And I don't even think twice. I take his camera. I'm asking him, where's the button? I'm completely engrossed.
Your wallet is gone.
I thankfully it wasn't, but that was... Because later on, then we saw this little sign in one of the towns that said, you know, don't
be nice to anybody. Yeah, don't accommodate
anybody.
And
I said, well, you know what? I could see how somebody falls, because I totally, if that guy was scamming, I fell for it in 2 seconds. I was all worried about where the button
is.
Well,
that's the same thing.
To click the camera.
When you're walking
that.
Down the street here and somebody goes, excuse me, as soon as they say that, everything's clenched. Everything's tightening. And openings are closed everywhere.
I mean, in fact, I'm even wondering if...
And they always, can you tell me how to get... Whatever.
Yeah.
But the initial reaction is, this is going to be bad.
I'm even wondering now, was I a target, and then maybe they've realized that they couldn't get in my pocket?
Don't you have a giant chain that clips to your...
No, I don't have the big chain.
Belt loop?
No, but I do put it deep. I have it in my front pocket, and I have put it very deep in the front pocket, but because this guy was by himself, young guy, and he was kind of the only guy in this little room. And my wife, when I walked in, he's like, can you please take picture? And I didn't even think, sure, I could take, where's the button? Oh, which one is it?
In the meantime, one of his stooges is going through your wife's purse.
I mean, thankfully, nothing, but I'm sitting there going, I could see now. I can't really call somebody a dupe.
The upshot was you stole his camera.
Yes, I did.
So that was the trade-off. So
that was good. He didn't even know it.
Because he was busy.
He was busy posing.
Rummaging through your pants.
But, oh, that's got to be the worst, to lose your wallet like that. Ugh. Everything.
Here's a text, capital letters. Dinner hour!
You always seem to pick those corpse stories around 6:00.
Some people are grazing, noshing at 3:00. I can't call that. I don't know.
We're a 24/7 society. There's no food times anymore.
We don't have set dinner hours.
Those days are over.
How many times is Bill going to reference his freaking vacation? He has written off, he said, 60% of it. And if he gets another day, he can go a full 100%.
Interesting things happen. You talked about the Holocaust thing. I was there. What am I supposed to not talk about it?
Yeah.
You were talking about getting pickpocketed? I was just telling you. This happened to me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I'm relevant.
It was 2 weeks. It's not going to go away in one.
I'm sorry if I'm
relevant. A two-week vacation means 2 weeks on air.
Revealing. I am a doer. I get out there.
You do.
And I do stuff, and stuff happens to me.
Yeah.
So I share.
This mope woman, I had it in my story there, the opening, where she went into the zoo at Madison, Wisconsin.
The zoo.
She got into the giraffe enclosure because she really likes giraffes. And the giraffe licked her and then kicked her in the face, which, as I said to Tom Skilling earlier.
Hasn't that happened to all of us?
It says, I said, unfortunately, she was not seriously hurt. And he goes, you meant fortunately. No. Right. I wanted her to be seriously hurt.
Exactly.
I have no compassion for these idiots anymore.
All you have to do these days, for some reason, when you go to the pumpkin fests, a lot of these places have giraffes there now. I don't know why, but they did.
A pumpkin fest.
Yeah, that Gebert's, whatever it's called.
Yeah, in Barrington.
Yeah, they had a giant giraffe there.
The year I went, they had a camel.
Okay.
I don't know how that ties into Halloween.
They had a camel and a giraffe. The camel was in the one spot where you can go for free, and the giraffe you had to pay. And there was
pay to do what?
Well, you walk up this thing and you feed it, I guess. You're in a big tower.
They have big tongues too.
Very
big tongues.
Well, that's why the giraffe first licked her before he kicked her.
Well, that might have felt good, and then it was kind of a
the pleasure and the pain.
It's the good cop bad cop situation.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to see that she got kicked. I really am. I hope she really has pain for a long time.
I wonder which section she'll go in next now. I really love the orangutan.
And now here's Bibble to talk about a zoo he visited in Berlin and a similar situation. Wasn't that a giraffe that they chopped up at that Copenhagen Zoo?
Yeah.
That was a giraffe, right?
I was in Copenhagen.
Marius.
Sure you were. Shut up.
Marius.
Right.
Marius.
That was a giraffe.
Yes, he was.
Right in front of people, they just chopped it up, threw it into the lion's
den. Little children, even.
Then.
We should have went to that zoo.
And then you would have had a wonderful story.
About.
Here's a text. I've never been out of the country. Way to relate to your listeners. Stop.
You're on a two-week vacation. Things are going to happen.
Leslie, you said there's a difference between 15 items or less.
Yeah, fewer.
Or 15 items.
It should be fewer.
Why?
Because you can count. Less is a degree. Fewer is a number. It's just like further and farther. If you can count how many miles.
It's farther.
It's farther. If it's a degree, like, don't take this joke any further. If you cannot measure it, then it's further.
But all the signs at the store say 15 items
or less,
right?
Right.
But a bunch of, you know, grammar Nazis have decided that it really should be fewer. And some of the grocery stores are picking up on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So to use less in the sentence properly, Bibble will talk about his vacation less in the coming days. Is that
fewer
right?
Times. Yep.
Fewer times. No,
right.
Less.
Correct. Correct.
Less.
He's talking about it less.
Yeah. Because you can't, there's nothing to measure there. Fewer, it would be the items.
Right, and that's it. If you want to count how many times he's doing it.
So less is a degree, fewer is an item.
So you need to go around all these grocery stores and have them correct those signs.
Do you remember, it was like 2 years ago, these two college types went across the country and just started correcting people's signage, like taking out apostrophes where they shouldn't be, or putting apostrophes. It's our grand opening, and they didn't have the apostrophe. They would go and paint an apostrophe for them and correct the signage all across the United States.
And R was A-R-E. It's our grand opening.
Our grand opening.
Got to correct that.
Well, they had to do, remember they had to do that, the Ernie Banks?
Mm-hmm. They didn't have the apostrophe.
Let's play two.
It was L-E-T-S. That was it.
It's just an apostrophe.
They had to redo it.
They had to go in and go
fix it, yeah.
It's Ernie Banks, for gosh sakes. You better.
I remember a walk to Wrigley or something and went over to that statue, and it's got the big marble base.
Yeah.
And the sun had been beating on it. So I went over there to wait for somebody. I put my arm on there, and it was 1,000 degrees. Oh, was that hot.
You won't be chumming up to that statue to take selfies?
No. I mean, really, when the sun's beating on that for a few hours, and I just put my arm.
I wonder if the fountains in New York are like that. Aren't they all dark granite, the ones at the World Trade Center?
Well, you can't get to those, right?
The big giant fountains? The holes?
Isn't the water just running over?
Yeah, but you can't.
But I'm saying the outside.
Oh, really?
Isn't that all that dark granite?
Because that's where they have the names. They have names of all the people that were.
I bet you that's a scalder right there.
Wear a long sleeve shirt.
Well,
I hate
to say something, so I won't.
Go. Okay. Good.
About the wall in Washington.
Oh, when I was in Washington my extensive vacation.
On the dark granite wall.
Yeah. That's the phone and the text number. Can you find that story, either Keith or Aaron, about the guy in the wheelchair who was, I believe, watching the air show over the weekend and then rolled right into the water?
There's been a couple of people that rolled into the water over the weekend.
Couple?
Mini Minoso fell in the water, too.
I did hear that. He was on his boat.
Yeah. And this other guy was 93, wasn't he?
Right, an older man who just slipped right in. Aren't there brakes on that chair?
But they did both of those stories back to back on the news. I'm like, why are all these old guys falling in the water?
Because maybe they're a little rattled.
Well, they're trying to do the ice bucket challenge, but they couldn't raise the bucket, so
right.
They just
fell
in.
And then when they did have the ice come down on them, they just were startled and just rolled right in. I was wondering if Minnie Minoso's boat, if the name of his boat is Minnie Mimoso. That's what I would, if I'm Minnie Minoso, I'd have a boat called Minnie Mimosa. Hey, Minnie, how old is that guy?
I think he's like 88. He seems like he's 240, because, I mean, he's been around. I never remember him ever playing, and yet he's always looked old to me.
I remember him when I was a kid playing for the White Sox.
Okay, I don't remember him. But in my lifetime, he's always been old. And I can't believe he's still walking around.
Did you find that story? Yeah, because I got a story here about a guy in California, 85-year-old man, crashed his car into his backyard pool.
Oh.
He was pulling into his garage. He went through the back of the garage into the backyard swimming pool, ending up fully submerged. Which one of these is the brake pedal?
It's stuck. The brake stuck.
Right into the pool.
Could you imagine?
Grandpa.
You're at the house and you see that happening? This car just flying into the pool. It's like Keith Moon.
Keith Moon?
Yeah, he used to drive his car into pools.
He did?
Yeah. Like in the hotels and stuff.
Bystanders rescued a 93-year-old retired priest.
Uh-oh.
After his wheelchair rolled into Lake Michigan Saturday.
Oh, that's who it was? Okay, right, yeah.
What do you mean?
I remember the story. I couldn't remember. I knew it was a 93-year-old. I forgot he was a priest.
Does that matter?
It's funnier.
It is? I don't like the sound of this. He was watching the air and water show, and that's why they call it an air and water show, because that's what it is.
They told him he's going to a baptism.
The incident occurred about 3:15, and that's relevant to the story because the Blue Angels started at 3. So I'm sure about the second flyby, he just was so rattled.
Wasn't he with a guy? Like, wasn't there somebody with him?
says...
I thought he had a...
Okay, it says here he was taken to Northwestern in pretty good condition.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. I've never
it's
had...
It's critical, stable, and pretty good.
Pretty good.
That's the new designation.
How about cherry? How about mint? I want to be in mint condition when I leave the hospital. Langford,
not
the
bad.
Spokesman, said the priest and caregiver...
See, he had a caregiver.
...were distracted, and the wheelchair got away.
Yeah, see, probably, well, the guy probably looked up and said, "Wow, look at that, Father." And then there goes Father.
Kerplunk. People nearby pulled him from the water.
He clearly couldn't walk on it.
No, that's his boss's job. Who's this? Joe?
Yeah, he was 97 years old.
It says 93 here.
Yeah, well, I said 97 in the paper.
All right, well, what's the diff?
He's on the handlebars.
Don't call me a liar for 4 years.
I was just calling to see, don't you feel bad that Obama had to cancel his vacation?
What are you talking about?
Well, he had to cancel his vacation this week.
Because of the Ferguson thing?
Well, because of it, I don't know what
it was
for, but he canceled it after a golf date that he had for a few weeks, and now he had to cancel his vacation.
You know my policy on presidents and vacations.
Vacations.
Yeah,
I know, that's why I called you on it.
No vacations the first term. If you get reelected, we'll give you 2 weeks. It's only 4 years.
He had golf dates.
No, no vacations. That's been my stand for decades. No vacations the first term.
I agree.
There's too much to do, and you only have 4 years to do it.
Yeah, right. Well, now he cut his vacation short. You should feel bad, Gare.
Well, I've made my statement. No more vacations. All right, how you been, Joe? How was your weekend?
Red or white?
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm fine.
Red or white?
White.
Yeah. Yep.
Always white.
Always white.
Always white.
Yeah. That's because you're anti-immigration and everything.
And you know what? Yeah. I never liked red. Well,
really? Because I only drink red. I don't like white.
Oh, yeah. Well, red is better for you anyway, though.
It is good for the heart and everything, they say, huh?
Well, it's good for your blood. The red is.
Well, I see that hookup that Brian put into your house for you is working. I can hear the show.
The volume works.
90 seconds later.
No, I agree. You know, I do agree that red wine is good for your heart and your blood.
So you were aware of the story about the retired priest rolling into the lake?
Yeah, I read that one.
There have to be some breaks on those, right?
Well, no, not if you're by the lake. There's no break down there.
There's breakers by the lake, aren't there?
There's no breakers
there
at
aren't?
The lake.
No.
Not at the beginning.
No. On the wheelchair.
Well, they don't have breakers right by the thing. They might have up.
Oh, Jesus.
Whoa.
Well, I mean on the wheelchair, Joe.
Yeah, right.
Are there breaks?
The guy was stupid to take him down lower to begin with.
That's right. You don't have to go that close to the water.
You don't go that close. Sure, they have breakers up, but not below.
I get it. Father Neptune, would you like to go closer to the water to see the show?
Well, that's why he probably didn't have the brakes on the wheelchair, because they were probably just walking across, and then he probably looked up, and then he let go of the thing. Maybe he pointed, and
then it looked like a Naked Gun scene with Leslie Nielsen.
Well, you know what? That is sort of funny.
I think at this point anything's funny to Joe.
Yeah, Joe, you're off and running, and it's only Monday.
Yeah, right.
I get it.
Okay, listen, you guys have a good week.
You too, Joe.
Okay, take care, huh?
Wow.
That was a who's on first moment.
So how many alcoholics did you have called today?
Including me?
Well, you were by the handlebars.
I know, on the handlebars.
The handlebars. No wonder why Joe likes you so much. You speak her language.
Yeah, exactly. Now I realize what our connection is.
Wow, she was really hammered today, don't you think?
You think she was hammered?
Oh, my God. They don't have breakers on the water.
There's brakes on the wheelchair.
They don't have breakers.
They only have brakes on the beverage cart on airplanes.
How do you feel about Obama now?
Huh?
With his vacation.
Took a vacation from his vacation. He did.
Although it was funny because the other day before, did he actually cut it short?
I think he did, yeah.
Because the other night they did a press conference and they had like the blue curtains and the two flags, and he did a press conference to talk about Iraq or something. And then they showed his other shot, and he was in a school, like in some schoolroom in Martha's Vineyard.
They set up the curtains and the flags.
So, you know, when the camera was there, it looked like it was a very official, like he was probably at some office. And then meanwhile, they turned the camera around, and he's like some...
He's near an ice cream shop.
Yeah, some schoolroom. Yeah, it's like, oh, jeez.
Michelle's standing there with ice cream.
Yeah,
are you done?
The golf cart. The golf cart is sitting there with his.
This is melting.
His partner there just.
Come
waiting.
On, this is melting all over my hand.
Let's go.
Can't help it. These people are all crazy.
They're supposed to cut out my vacation because something's going on in Iraq.
Right.
Hello, I'm the damn president.
Ferguson. What kind of name is that for a town? Ferguson.
It was funny because 2 weeks ago when they first started, you know, the guy works here, Bob Ferguson. You know, the engineer. And we said, when I think Leslie read the story, and his head kind of perked up like, oh,
no,
never heard of that before.
I got kinfolk in the news?
And now all of a sudden.
No, it's the town, Bob.
Every day. That's all you hear about.
Well, the shot of the people walking out of that store with just whatever they grabbed.
Well, then the police said, on Sunday, they said, we're going to think about whether we should extend the curfew. A curfew only works if nobody comes out. If everybody's still on the street, there's no curfew.
That's a bad curfew.
Yeah, so what are you extending? No one's following it.
They need curf more, not curfew.
No, it's a cure less. Cure less. Cure
less
items. Cure less, not curfew. Yeah. Handlebars.
Duff, what are you doing in here?
Well, you weren't doing your promo, so I just decided to...
Well, I was going to do one. I can do them from my... post here into his studio during the show if he has to leave. But I didn't have anything ready to go for tomorrow yet.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out the last...
I think you're still trying to figure out today.
17 minutes.
15 minutes to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stretch. Like, stretch.
Right.
Stretch.
Yeah, I have tomorrow's show planned already.
I think we need a promo for today. Something other than what's happened.
He's still looking for the story to fill up the next 15 minutes.
I got plenty of stories. I just got to pick the right one, he said. A New Jersey father said he was turned away from Six Flags because of the shirt he was wearing. Marine veteran said his shirt is patriotic. It features an M16 in the colors of the American flag and the words, "Be calm and return fire." And they didn't want that walking around the park, so they told him to leave.
Well, that "be calm" thing is a new thing now. It's like be calm and do what, and then
and something. What state was this?
New Jersey.
Oh, that says it. In Texas, they probably sell those shirts.
Yeah,
park.
at the Six Flags. And three of the flags are Confederate flags at that one. What else you want? We've got the Confederate flag, American flag.
Don't tread
tread on me.
And the Texas flag with the big star. They love that one.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever they fly over NASCAR events.
The red flag. Or the checkered flag.
All the ones I just mentioned.
Checkered flag.
Checkered flag.
Checkered flag.
That's
checkered
what they have. Six flags. Checkered flag.
Yellow flag. Whatever they do.
That don't tread on me.
Yeah.
Several Confederate flags.
And a big black flag with a number 3 on it.
Right. Whatever Tony Stewart's number is. Yeah. Is he going to race again? Is he okay?
I hope so. Gosh, I hope so. I hate if we lost Tony.
Yeah.
He's got a lot on his mind these days.
So he doesn't get on that track and play Frogger.
Kidding.
Gee, guy's a multimillionaire. He's going and racing against these 19-year-olds on a dirt track because that's the way he started. That's a lot of these guys start that way. That's how they get into racing. It's go-kart to that and then the bigger cars, right?
Yeah, I know, but when you get to that point, shouldn't you just be at your pool enjoying your life?
That, right, is his weekend.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, look, hey, Kaner did the men's league in Buffalo this summer.
Yeah, that's true.
What's that?
Patrick Kane did the men's league.
He played in
the
ice hockey league in the summer.
Really, can't you turn it off for a while? And do they want him doing that? What if something happens?
Well, I thought about that too, but obviously.
Well, like they said, like Michael Jordan had this thing in his, you know, love of the game clause where he could play pickup games, and they hated that because what if he hurt his knee? playing some guy.
I hope Derrick Rose doesn't start doing that.
But get this. Patrick Kane was on the winning team for the summer league, but he wasn't the highest scorer, goal scorer. There was actually a guy who scored more.
And how many games did they play in that?
I don't know. Like, it's like a pickup league, you know.
Yeah.
I guess keep yourself lubricated, right? You don't want to get all rusty during the offseason.
Yeah, but, you know, you also can get some guy that's skating around that wants to take a shot at Patrick Kane because he's got a little macho thing going. Like, oh, so you think you're that good?
I mean, it is Buffalo, though. I mean, he's like...
Yeah, he is a god there.
He's sacred territory.
Yeah, he is a god there, but you never know. Hockey is a game of tempers.
I never have the desire on the weekends to go out to Des Plaines and broadcast again.
You don't go to a college radio station?
Yeah.
That would be funny. Yeah. You go to Triton's radio station?
Right. Over at Elmhurst College.
Yeah, go to WRSE, 88.7.
Strap on the tool of ignorance.
Yeah. When I was going to college in Boston, I was already on the air at a major radio station there, and I failed Greek lit in college. So I had to get one extra credit. And I went and worked on the Carrier Current, the little radio station that only went through the speakers at the college. It wasn't
in
even
the dorm rooms.
Yeah. So I'm going from this radio station in a 50-story skyscraper over to this little dinky thing that two people are listening to, me and the guy in the other room. But I got my credit, so.
Is Don on the phone? And he's playing all his little tapes.
It was ponderous.
Ponderous, man. Ponderous.
Duffy is the guy who puts the opening together every day. And adds the little bells and whistles, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
And he also has this thing, which I like. He has a candy dish in his studio that's always pretty well stocked. And I replenish every now and then, but he's got people that stick their big fat meat hooks in there, and they never replenish.
So you don't have a lot of replenishers?
No, I don't, actually.
A lot of takers.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Well, that's why I don't even get, like, the good Snickers ones, you know, those really good ones.
Right.
You have one, like,
every... You get Snickers by Russell Stover.
Yeah. No, I got Swedish Fish in there, and they're already half gone. So, and they've already only been in there since noon.
Yeah, because when I came in about 1 o'clock, 1:30, he has the three set.
Yeah.
Got three troughs.
Right.
One was empty. One had two lifesavers, and then the other had some mint lifesavers.
There's candy dishes throughout WGN. I mean, on desks everywhere. And the one that I love the best is the one on Carol's desk. Uh-huh. She's got like, all right, I'll say it. She's got granny candy in there. I mean,
that's all hard candy.
And nobody takes it.
Right.
It's been sitting there since May.
It's mostly root beer barrels.
Yeah. Yes. No, I don't even. They're purple. They can't be root beer barrels.
It's something with paper on it.
They look like they're apricot something.
Yeah, you know? they're the kind you would get at your grandmother's.
Exactly. Price. You'd pick it up when you were 11, and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, how that's all. I'll eat it, but that's a last resort. Yeah.
This way she doesn't have to worry about replenishing.
Exactly. Yeah.
She doesn't need...
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. She runs the place, and there's a good reason for
it. So you don't put a little sign like, please...
That just seems like common courtesy.
Well, clearly it's not.
I agree. They don't get it, but some of these people, they have no problem walking in there and just grabbing the whole thing and walking out.
No, there have been times when I... and, of course, I can't pin it down to... We got... You know, 85 sports guys now here,
no waiting.
So I can't pin it down to anybody.
It's a lot of sports.
But there have been times I've dumped Snickers and Three Musketeers in there at night when I leave, and you know I leave late, and it's gone when I come to work the next morning.
Oh, so they've been coming over the night?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they know.
Yeah.
Well, they're not even coming on business. They're just coming to eat.
Yeah. That's their only food.
I mean, it's like when you're coming in, you go in there when you're going to cut the promo and you grab something.
Yeah.
These people are just coming in.
Like a special trip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are.
Well, you should just put, like, really crappy. Ask Carol where she gets her candy.
Granny candy.
There's a granny candy store. What would that be? Root beer barrels,
yeah,
I remember.
Exactly.
It's all hard candy.
It's all in those crinkly things.
Right.
Canada mints.
Canada mints?
Yeah. Remember that? Did you guys ever have Canada mints?
I'm thinking that's the mint with that green center.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. They were like powdery. They're
exactly. I know what you're talking about. They taste like
then,
chalk.
Blackjacks. Was that what they were called? The
Black Crows?
Purple and, or no, the pink and black wrappers.
Yeah, I know that. Right. Exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Because you've had Good and Plenty in yours, right?
Yeah.
I remember you put
it. I don't buy that anymore because it gets eaten instantly by me. So and Gary, see, I got to get the stuff that doesn't have wrappers because Gary right. won't go to the ones that don't have wrappers. There's Swedish Fish in there now, and they'll be there until nobody else likes Swedish Fish. They'll be there until 2017.
Oh, those are good, though.
Well, you got all those sports guys putting their, and you know they don't Purell. They like to get their hands dirty and just plow in.
They're scratching places you don't want to know.
That's what they got to do. Talking about
the
sports
furniture, yeah, you know.
So the priest. It says on this text, wanted to be part of the water show in the wheelchair. Isn't that too loud for a 97-year-old? Those jets overhead?
He didn't hear them.
That's right. That's, the hearing's been gone for years.
Yeah, you'd think.
It's just perfect for
him. He's like, what? Don't forget, it was his caregiver who got distracted. I don't think father even knew where he was at.
The caregiver wanted to go see the show, so it was an excuse.
Yeah, you want to go?
I'll push the priest out.
He'll go anywhere where he gets outside of the house.
Right.
He might be in the will, too. You know?
Oh, sure. I'm sure a retired priest has left a lot of moolah.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
That's true.
We used to have a priest at my grammar school. He had a boat. In the Belmont Harbor.
Oh, yeah.
Based on what?
I don't know, but
he's making $13,000 a year, that.
And he used to go, I have a boat out on the harbor. And we're like, how does this guy have a boat?
He would announce that during the homily?
Yeah, he said, I have my boat. He would always reference this boat on the harbor.
That's when I would have started take a closer look at the finances.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
Like was the boat beige? Like his station wagon? Well, sometimes, like a car dealer will give a car. Maybe you have found a boat dealer that was...
Or maybe
super religious.
Maybe there was a wealthy parishioner who, gave it to him or said, "Hey, go." I mean, but it does. I don't know how it is now, but I remember some of our priests did have some nice
and cars too.
Lincoln's they had beautiful cars, and those weren't the cars of the parish. They drove around, and that was where their cars, not our cars.
Here was the name of his boat. Crucifixin'. Like you got Mini Minoso's Mini Mimosa.
Mini Mimosa.
And this boat, priest boat was Crucifixin'.
Crucifunnin'.
You guys just crack yourself up in here.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
We're in the last 20 minutes, I know, because I think the air starts
seven.
Getting thin in
it's
here.
Seven now.
Yeah.
That's a little interesting there about having a boat. And not that you shouldn't enjoy your life.
No, that's fine.
What else have you got?
There, but yeah, but
you go back to that one room apartment.
Yeah, the rectory was kind of.
They're all.
Very depressing.
Yeah,
very depressing.
Do we have any details on this? Because I mean, he could have been on like a party barge here in the playpen, you know, with the.
Yeah, he may have been on the Odyssey.
Who? Which?
Father Splashy, or whatever his name was.
Father. Could have been out there, you know, the boom, tss, boom, tss, boom. Tss, you know.
Right, Father Kerduncan.
He was just shown how to do baptisms.
Kerduncan. Yeah, he's down to German church.
That cannot be used as a flotation device, that wheelchair.
No.
It's not good.
So I wonder what the caregiver... Oh, my God! I mean, what's looking to see Father?
Well, they just better be glad it wasn't May. You know, can you imagine if this were Memorial Day weekend?
Right. That was talking about the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to send the check now, Father. You took the challenge. Attaboy.
Yes, you did. Who are you daring now?
All right. I did this soldier with the be calm and return fire. I think that's how this all started. A lot of the be calm stuff out there.
Well, there's a whole line of T-shirts and stuff that says be calm, and then people get and then do something else. So be calm and fire a gun, be calm and do whatever.
Oh, the British thing from the Blitz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the
remain
little
Remain calm and...
Yeah, and it's got like the little little crown on the top
of it. Yeah, yeah, that was a poster in the Blitz in World War II. That's what they used to put down in the tube station.
But now they've continued...
Remain calm and carry on.
I'm going to have a T-shirt in Ferguson that just says, be calm.
Please.
Stay with that.
Please.
Remain calm.
I'm surprised that Obama hasn't gone down there. I know he's sending Eric Holder, but...
What's he going to do?
Yeah, I know, but he's a black president. Isn't that symbol?
They already know that. That didn't work.
I guess. But just to send somebody else there to me seems kind of...
Well, what's he going to do?
Well, he's not going to do anything, but I just...
If he went down
it's
there.
It's a photo
Do they have a golf course? He could play a round? Enjoy the nice Ferguson Country Club?
On his way back east?
Yeah. What's he going to do?
Ferguson, Missouri, Martha's Vineyard. Ferguson,
I think I'll stay.
Eric, what are you doing? Head on down there.
Yeah. Knock yourself out.
Yeah. You're dropping wheels at Lambert at about 0800. Take care of that for me. Yeah.
I got oysters Rockefeller down Edgartown.
You got a clam bake in about 3 hours.
So the two elderly stories, both guys ended up in water.
Yeah.
The guy who drove through the back of
and
his garage and went into the swimming pool.
Oh, right.
And Minnie Minoso.
And Minnie Minoso. Come in threes.
They do. Did this happen in Florida with Minnie? Did I hear that properly? Where he was on his boat, right?
I think he was on his boat. Yeah, I think so. I don't know where he lives. But it was, I mean, how did he fall off the boat? Once again, isn't
it? No, it hits
helping?
A wave. You know, you're leaning over.
Oh, I thought he was getting on the boat.
To tie your rope.
Is he in a wheelchair?
Who, Minnie?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You're tying the buoy on a cleat, and you just hit a wave.
I want to say Minnie Minoso, that incident happened here.
It did?
Because I've heard that they took him to St. Joseph Hospital, so.
I love their aspirin. That's all they use for a cure there is the aspirin. You like our aspirin?
They've got no.
How many
surgery.
Other hospitals can say that, though?
I like the Northwestern OxyContin, but I love the St. Joseph aspirin.
Actually, St. Mary of Nazareth Hospital used to make their own little headache thing. My parents would, on a Saturday, take a trip to the hospital to go and buy their special pain reliever because it included extra caffeine.
We're in the alley?
Yeah, that was just a drive-through.
You used to go to, this is so weird, I remember this as a kid, they would just go to the hospital, I guess to the hospital pharmacy.
Ask for a guy named Mo.
Yeah. Get that special medicine.
Get mother's little helper.
Rheumatism.
I got news for you, they weren't just going to the hospital.
We just went to a fish fry on Fridays. We were happy with that.
You would have been happier had you gone to St. Mary
of
Nazareth.
How often?
Whenever they were running low.
I got news for you. Your mom and dad had a guy.
Lyndon Johnson, there is tape that I've listened to, played it on the air a number of years ago, because he taped all his conversations. He's talking about these vitamin
B shots yeah.
that he would get, and he goes, and send it over to Jackie and lift her spirits,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Some doctor, they had a Dr. Nick,
right.
that would just get them all.
Like Elvis used to have.
Yeah, yeah. greased up. Vitamin B shot.
Was yesterday
Well, the
Elvis?
Kennedys were taking the president was taking just a bunch yeah. of drugs.
But he used to take the vitamin B, too. Jack did.
Right. They all got the shots.
Yeah. Oh, he used to, they had some of those conversations, he totally was flirting with Jackie.
Oh. He wanted to make her ambassador to Mexico. I remember that one. He goes, imagine her going down there. She walk out on the balcony, and people pee all over themselves. True. It's right on the tape.
Oh, so proud.
They'd be so though, excited.
The best, though, is the one where he's ordering pants. Have you
right.
heard that one?
Yes. Measuring.
Yeah. I got my inseam here.
Right. And then about a half an inch from the bunghole.
From the bunghole.
That's all I'm
saying. Because it
rides up. It cuts in on me. It's the president talking to a tailor.
That's it for today. Thank you for listening. Back
dinner
tomorrow
time.
At 3. It's a repeat right after this if the right button is pushed. So
about 8:30.
Yeah.
Shut up. I'll tune in at 7:05.
Yeah, can you monitor that so the whole thing will repeat and then everything's podcast forever. Talk to you tomorrow at 3:00. Good night.